Dr. Phil here. Come February 27th, you're going to be able to pick up a book called We've Got Issues, and you know we do. This is a book that says it's going to teach you how to stand strong for America's soul and sanity. And in this book, I set forth 10 principles for saving this society from going off the deep end. 10 principles for protecting your family. 10 principles for giving you what you need to flourish and have the life that you want for yourself and for your children and for your grandchildren. We've taken some wrong turns. We've been letting the loudest voices dictate some of the thinking that has taken us way off course. Well, I'm speaking up and bringing us back to the center of the road. I hope you'll pick this book up, and I hope you'll read it with a real open mind, because I'm pushing back against a lot of what you've been hearing. Somebody had to do it. Might as well be me. We've got issues.
Today on an all-new Dr. Phil.
He did this to me. He did this to me for so long.
A stepfather accused.
I need you guys to believe me.
I can't leave my dad behind. I watched my life fall apart for the past year.
I watched mine fall apart for 15.
You want a relationship with our family. You want us to forgive you for this.
Forgive me.
The shocking audio tapes.
We can't do anything anymore. No more sex.
How do you hear that and believe that your husband was not having relations with your daughter?
I don't know. I have not heard it.
What will a polygraph reveal?
You were asked, has your stepfather had sex with you? And the answer was found to be... Let's do it.
Have a good show, everybody. Here we go.
This is a safe place to talk about hard things.
Stand by. We'll count you down.
I'm trying to be an emotional compass and point you in the right direction.
Five.
I am not giving up on you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yesterday, we started digging into the story of Amanda, a young woman who says she was molested over 795 times by her father, Earl Nix. She faced her mother, Dee Dee, and told her the whole twisted story. Dee Dee says her daughter's accusations of being molested and raped by her father are bold-faced lies made up for attention. Last November, Earl Nix was sentenced to 36 years in prison for first-degree criminal sexual misconduct and third-degree sexual conduct. Dee Dee arrived at the studio saying she was sure that her husband, Earl Nix, is a good man and that her daughter, Amanda, is a pathological liar. We also met Amanda's grandmother and Dee Dee's mother, Sharon. When these three women converged, well, I'll say this, the gloves came off and they shared their feelings without restraint. Here's what happened.
A Van Buren County man is charged with sex crimes after police say he raped a girl for more than a decade.
The abuse started when I was 10 years old. By the time I was 11, we were actually having sex. As I got older, the abuse continued. I knew that as soon as my mom would walk out the door, my dad would have sex with me. It was very terrifying. I ended up telling my grandmother and my counselor that my father had been molesting me. Immediately, CPS and the police got involved, and they began interviewing my family.
When the police showed up to the house, I just remember him telling me that he didn't want to go to jail, and he was scared, and I said, I'm so sorry, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'll take it back, and I did.
One of the final straws came when Earl told me that he tried to make the perfect daughter out of me and failed, so he would have to start over with my daughter. A friend of mine and my counselor urged me to call the police.
A Van Buren County man accused of raping a girl over a period of more than a decade will spend decades in prison.
Earl Nix, to this day, maintains his innocence.
Your family does not believe you.
They don't believe me.
Are you a pathological liar?
I am not.
When Amanda went back to the police, a lot of things just weren't adding up. Her dates and times weren't adding up. I am convinced that Amanda did this solely for attention.
Since I was 10, your husband has been having sex with me. How do you think that I'm supposed to act? Especially when you call me a liar.
for 14 years he's supposedly been doing this. Seven, you didn't live in our home and you initiated and charged him money. I don't understand that.
Mom,
I can understand
you
that if you had to recant it in 2009.
When Amanda was about 10 or 11 years old, I got a phone call from Dee Dee, and she told me Amanda had just told her that Earl was messing around with her. She called me back and said, Amanda made up the story.
That never happened.
I don't know why you don't remember calling me.
I don't remember that.
You did call me. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I don't remember.
Well,
calling
I don't
you.
Care if you remember or not, but when you called me, my heart fell to the floor.
What if she's telling the truth? How would you feel about that? You've read the transcript of the phone call.
What phone call?
Between Earl and Amanda.
No, I have not read the transcript.
Okay, well, I want to share some parts of that with you because this was recorded by the police.
I have this relationship with my husband that's falling apart, but I love you and I have this relationship with you.
Don't take this the wrong way, but work on a relationship with your husband.
He wants to go to counseling, but how do I do that? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I've just been having sex with you and my dad this whole time.
I guess in a lot of ways, it's kind of like when you break up with somebody, you leave that relationship in the past and you move forward.
How do you go for 15 years loving somebody in ways that you don't even understand to being married to somebody and having a kid with them and living this dual life, you know? So this is like our breakup?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're breaking up with me?
No. No, I love you. You're my daughter. Always loved you. And I will continue to love you.
Okay, whatever.
We always have had and will continue to have a special bond that nobody can break.
Like tonight, Gabe wanted to do stuff with me, but I couldn't because he would have known that I had just, you know.
Right.
That, like, my underwear, my, you know. And then he's like, well, you never want me to touch you.
Like I said, this is just an awkward conversation for me to have on the phone.
So we can't do anything anymore and we just have to move forward. No more
right.
Sex, no more nothing, no more. No, it's so hard.
So awkward. And I was selfish, and I regret that. Not recognizing my addiction.
Your addiction to, like...
To you?
Me?
How do you hear that and believe that your husband was not having relations with your daughter?
I don't know, I have to process this for a second, please.
Take your time.
Would it be possible for me to see the whole thing?
Sure. I can tell you it gets worse.
I understand.
At one point, she says, he says to her, the first step with like getting over it or stopping is to just stop. And she says, and he says, yeah, the first step at getting over the guilt is to stop the action of what is causing the guilt. And she says, so, you know, like, what if I need money? Because she had been charging him now. What if I need things like that? Well, it was never really about that to me. It was never really about that, the money to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you need money, I've got your back on that. It wasn't really about the money to me.
Was that what was played in court?
That's what the jury heard.
Oh.
And they had text messages that went back and forth. There's one here on April 12th of last year. Earl says, so fit me into your tight schedule. Amanda, laugh out loud. We'll be on our way in a few. I'm getting so-and-so dressed, and we are out. Earl, cool. Today, Amanda, duh. April 15th, 2015, Earl, I'm kind of bored, LOL. Amanda, LOL. Earl, I found $100. Did you lose it? LOL.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, LOL. Earl, no, it must have been mine all along. LOL.
Those don't surprise me. But I mean, yes, they would talk like that. I would talk to her like that. I don't know.
Those $50 for one sex act and $100 for another. He said, I got $100 I found here. Is this yours?
I from reading that text message, that is not what I would think.
Even given the
given
the context and the history.
Yes.
Amanda's mother isn't the only person who doesn't believe her. Her siblings are here, and they also stand by their father. We're going to find out why they agreed that Nix is 100% innocent, and Amanda is a mentally unstable liar who craves attention and has single-handedly destroyed this family.
I will never have a relationship with Amanda again.
My sister has claimed that my dad has molested me, and that is completely and utterly disgusting. I don't understand what's going through Amanda's head.
And later,
nobody showed me that there was anything wrong. I have valid questions that make me believe my husband's innocent. I do.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
The first page of a book never tells the full story. And those news alerts and headlines, like the ones we get on our phones, don't even scratch the surface of what the story is really all about. Stories are like people, multi-layered and complex. It takes some digging to find the truth, but when we find it, it can change our world. We like to dig. The news on Merritt Street. Essential television.
Dee Dee says she loves her husband and Amanda, but how can you love your husband knowing he molested your own daughter? How can you still stand by his side? Dee Dee's always posting online that she wants to free Earl and that she believes he's innocent and she feels like the justice system failed. Dee Dee is definitely being brainwashed by Earl. Dee Dee is in serious denial about what happened. What Dee Dee needs to do is wake up.
Well, that was Amanda's husband, Gabe, who says Dee Dee has been in total denial about the sick and twisted relationship her husband, Earl Nix, had with her daughter, Amanda. Now, Amanda's brother and sister say their mother is not in denial because it just simply never happened.
There's something mentally wrong with Amanda. My sister has claimed that my dad has molested me, and that is completely and utterly disgusting. My father's never done anything to me. He's never laid a hand on me. I don't know why she would say something like that.
One of the weirdest things about Amanda's behavior during the trial to me was that the first time she got on the witness stand to tell her story about the alleged sexual abuse, she had no emotion. There were no tears. The way Amanda was behaving was very strange to me.
When I heard the guilty verdict, that day was one of the toughest days in my life. I felt like I was losing my dad for the rest of my life.
I didn't know what to do. I just tried to stand there and be strong for my mom and my sister Allie and just support him the best I could.
Since my dad is in prison, I will miss out on the things that a girl should not miss out on. He will not be able to walk me down the aisle. He will not be able to take me to prom. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with in my whole entire life. I don't understand what's going through Amanda's head. What she is doing is tearing my family apart.
I will never have a relationship with Amanda again. She will never be a part of my family again. She is not my sister.
Well, Amanda's husband, Gabe, joins us, as well as Amanda's younger sister, Allison, and her brother, Joe. I appreciate all of y'all joining us, and I hate this for you guys to be in this situation with your family going through this. It's difficult, I know. You know, I would ask the two of you the same thing I ask your mother. Have you entertained the possibility, what if she's telling the truth?
Yeah.
Because you have to look at it from both sides. That's my sister and that's my dad. They're both family members. I love them both. when something like this happens in your life, you have to look at it from both sides. I tried to be there for both of them.
You weren't, though.
Like, I did.
You were. He tried. You had chosen your side from the beginning.
No.
He tried to be in the beginning. He did.
Y'all listen to me talk about the phone conversation that took place, and I have to tell you, I don't practice anymore and haven't for a long time, but I was trained as a forensic psychologist, and I've talked to a lot of rape victims. I've talked to a lot of molesters. Yeah. I've talked to a lot of rapists. I've been on both sides evaluating these things, and that phone conversation is very, very troubling.
Yeah.
Does it not trouble you?
Well, I know my sister, so that's why it doesn't trouble me. When Amanda's in one of her moods where she's very angry or suicidal or anything, you tell her what you need to tell her to get through the conversation to make sure she's not going to hurt herself. Even if it's outlandish or wild, you, at the end of the day, you don't want her to kill herself, and she would threaten to do that or threaten to hurt other people.
She's not on a ledge in this conversation. Her rhetoric is not on the edge in this conversation. And I have to tell you, if I've been accused of molestation by her when she was 11, then I've been accused of her again when she's 18, and now I'm on the phone with her, and she's saying, no more sex, no more nothing. If I'm getting set up here, I'm going to be saying, listen, girl, you are talking way off the path here. What the hell are you talking about? I'm not going to be saying, yeah, right. And I understand, and I appreciate you not telling. And, you know, these things are not being coerced. These things are in a normal flow of conversation, and y'all can read this whole transcript.
In that conversation, anybody would have the reaction you just said, like, well, what the hell? I didn't do that. No, quit saying that. But
that's
not the first conversation that you have to get her through it.
I was never irrational. I was talking very calmly through the whole entire conversation. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't angry. I wasn't yelling. My voice was never raised. His voice was never raised. We had a very friendly, heart-to-heart father-daughter talk. We said we love each other. It ended on a very positive note.
What if your sibling here has been getting raped since the age of 10?
If this happened to you, why would you allow my granddaughter to be alone with him? Why?
And later,
I need you guys to believe me.
I can't leave my dad behind.
You want a relationship with our family. You wanted us to forgive you for this.
Forgive me.
If you're concerned about both family members, you have to entertain the possibility, what if your sibling here has been getting raped since the age of 10?
I did. I was on both sides, and they're all lying if they say I wasn't. I was on both sides until the moment that I told my sister how much time my dad was looking at.
Until the moment that you asked if you could take your dad out of state, would you drop the charges?
Okay, hold on. I got that.
I said, I was working. My mom called me. So on the way home from work, I stopped at my sister's house because it was on the way home, or on the way to my mom's house, rather. I told her how much, this was in her house, in her dining room. I told her how much time he was looking at. The emotion didn't change in her face. I told her that CPS was threatening to take Allie away from my mom. Again, the emotion didn't change. That was news. And the emotion didn't change in her eyes. The look in her eye didn't change. At that point, that is what convinced me.
And you thought what? What did you conclude from that?
That she's in one of those states that it's not Amanda.
The reason the emotion didn't change was we already knew that information. She had a bedroom ready for Allie to come there. She was going to be one of the three choices. She already had that information, Joey. That's why her emotions didn't change.
Actually, that's not correct.
That's not correct.
You're giving a lot of opinions here about things that
Well, that's I'm what I thought it was, at least.
We actually met up downtown. My husband dropped me off, and my brother and I walked around for a few hours and had an entire conversation about it.
That is not.
And I told him that my dad did deserve to go to prison.
It's two different things.
Yeah.
I know. Tell me what you're thinking right now.
To be honest, I'm just broken. And I'm not going to lie. I'm broken. Kids are all broken. Every one of them. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It doesn't. Every single one of my children are broken. There are things that I can pick out, but I'm not going to get in an argument with them. I'm just not going to do it. So is it that important to bring it up? Like, I want to say this without getting in an argument with everybody because it's a question that I have. But if this happened to you, why would you, or you, for that matter, allow my granddaughter be alone with him? Why? That's a fair question, I believe. I told myself I was not going to do this.
Well, no, listen, that is a very fair question. And
every indication to me, whether you guys want to admit it or not, nobody showed me since 2009, especially since 2009, that there was anything wrong. We had a normal family. We had get-togethers at the house. I watched my granddaughter. I was there the day she was born. It rips my heart out that I can't be anywhere near her. Those are the kind of questions that I have that make me not believe you. Or you, that you knew since the day you were engaged, okay? I'm not attacking you, or you. But I have valid questions that make me believe my husband's innocence. Okay? I do.
Could I answer those questions for her?
Right after the break. We'll be right back. Why would you have this man that has molested you walk you down the aisle and babysit your innocent two-year-old? And later, Amanda agreed to take a polygraph exam. You were asked, has your stepfather, Earl, had sex with you within the last 15 years? And the answer was found to be no.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
In 2012, Amanda got married, and Earl walked her down the aisle.
My dad was there when her first child was born.
Amanda and Gabe both allowed Earl to watch our granddaughter alone. Had he have been molesting Amanda her whole life, why would they allow that?
If he actually did these things, why would you want this man to be a part of your life? Why would you want him to be a part of your first daughter's life?
I find that to be very bizarre.
Well, the father in this family, Earl Nix, is behind bars for the next 36 years. Amanda's family blames her for putting him there. Amanda says they have disowned her ever since she told the truth to authorities. They say it wasn't a truth. It was another attention-getting ploy that comes from mental illness. You've asked some questions that are basically commonsensical questions. I mean, what you're saying is, if this, then why that? You're saying, if in fact this monster has been brutally molesting and raping this person across 15 years. Why would she turn her 2-year-old child over to him? Why would she ask him to walk her down the aisle and give her away? Why would, I mean, have I been living in a fantasy land? Because I've been looking at things that indicate everything but what she's now claiming. People looking at me like, what are you, some derelict head in the sand mother? Well, no, I've been getting all this data coming in saying, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. He's babysitting, he's walking her down the aisle, we're having family dinners. It just looks like the Brady Bunch, right? So you're saying, so I'm supposed to know this? She's made this accusation before and then recanted, took it back. So now she's made it again. Am I supposed to say, oh, okay, or am I waiting for her to take it back again? Right?
Yes.
So what the hell am I supposed to? How do I know?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Am I understanding you properly?
Yes, you are.
Because I'm really trying to be objective here. Like.
Yeah, I know.
You said you want to answer those questions. Like, why would you have this man that has molested you walk you down the aisle and babysit your innocent 2-year-old?
The times that my daughter was with my parents, it was my understanding every single time my mom had the day off of work or the next few days off of work, and she'd be with my mom as well as my dad. But I figured, and I knew every time my mom left, my daughter went with her. And I, how do you keep up a facade? And what excuse would I tell my parents for my daughter not being able to go over there? If my mom asked for her to stay the night, I would say yes. But in my mind, and I talked to my husband about this, we were trying to figure out at what point do we say she's not allowed to go over there anymore? And what reason do we say it for? I wanted so desperately to have a normal family.
And what about walking you down the aisle?
How could I tell my dad that he can't walk me down the aisle? I love my dad. I wanted him to walk me down the aisle. At that point, I could do it. I could put on my face and I could do it, and I could be the normal daughter by day and the woman he wanted me to be at night, or, you know, whenever we were alone. It was expected. What was I going to do? Oh, you can't walk me down the aisle. Why? Well, I wasn't ready. I didn't want to get him in trouble. I didn't want to come forward.
You thought it was all over.
I just thought it was going to be over. I was pregnant. I was acting like a normal dad. He hadn't touched me. He hadn't even been around me. And I came back pregnant, and he was normal. He didn't make any moves. He didn't do anything. And I thought it was really over. I thought, I have my normal dad back, and we can move forward, and we can move on, and we can be a normal family. I was 8 months pregnant when I got married. It was the beginning of the rest of my life. I wanted that. I wanted that normalcy. I desperately needed that normalcy. But he always told me, you're not my real daughter, so it's different. Then she's not his real granddaughter. And how long did she have? I can't do that to her.
So why out him when you did?
I was told that an incident had happened with my sister and my parents that I wasn't told about. I was told by another party, not in the family. And my initial reaction was, why would he react that way if he wasn't doing it to my sister? I don't know that I pray to God that this never happened to me. I hope it hasn't. But me being a victim of that and me experiencing what I've experienced, I knew that if that reaction was true, there'd be no reason for it unless he was doing it to her. And I needed to protect my daughter.
Because if I wasn't his real daughter, and it was, that's what he always told me, you're not my real daughter, so it's different, then she's not his real granddaughter. And how long did she have? How long before I have to look at my daughter and wonder why I put her there? Why did I put her in that position when I knew what was gonna happen? I can't do that to her. I needed to get her out. I needed to get me out so I could be a better mom.
And you're aware that those things, the babysitting, the walking down the aisle, those things, Caleb, are going to be central to your appeal, correct?
Those are going to be central to the resentencing hearing we've got scheduled this week.
The resentencing for this week is you're going to argue psychological injury.
Correct. One of the factors that the sentencing judge used to give the sentence to Mr. Nix that she did was psychological harm that affected the victim. We're going to make the argument that a person affected by something like this, if you believe her allegations, wouldn't necessarily put her daughter in that situation. So pretty much everything you guys have been hitting on is core to our argument at that point.
You're not putting a lot of weight into that argument. You got to go through that to get to the appeals process, right?
It's something that we think has got some merit to it, but we're putting most of our eggs in the full appeal basket after that the judge comes down with a decision on that hearing.
As you know, experts that specialize in this type of trauma,
yes,
would argue that that type of behavior would be consistent with being fully controlled by the individual and trying to please the authority figure and the power figure. So,
well, I don't know that every expert would argue that exact line. Some may differ given the certain circumstances and the facts that are brought together.
Caleb and his co-counsel, Don Sopano, supplied us with this statement on behalf of Earl Nix. Mr. Nix is maintaining his innocence, and his main priority is putting his family back together, including his relationship with his daughter, Amanda. Next, what will it take? Is there anything that will convince Amanda's family that she's telling the truth? Well, one thing I thought might help is I asked her to take a polygraph exam to determine whether or not Earl, in fact, did molest and rape her hundreds of times over the last 15 years. The results of that polygraph are sealed in this envelope. I'm going to open it when we come back.
I can't leave my dad behind. I watched my life fall apart for the past year.
I watched mine fall apart for 15. Honey, I know.
Amanda agreed to take a polygraph exam before the show. We take this very, very seriously here, and it's not a stunt. It's not a tool or a toy. We used Jack Tramarco. He's a former FBI agent that worked for the Bureau for 20 years. He worked as a polygraph examiner, as a trainer. He's worked with the FBI, worked with people with the Homeland Security, worked in LA, the Inspector General, Department of Energy. I mean, he's just, he's the guy. And technology being what it is, I think it's a very useful tool. You met with Mr. Tramarco?
I did, yes.
Did you feel comfortable?
I did.
So there's nothing that you would complain about with regard to the results?
No, he was very professional, he was very great.
Jack, you have no reason to believe the test was contaminated in any way?
It was a good test, Dr. Phil.
Okay. You were asked the following question. Has your stepfather, Earl, had sex with you within the last 15 years? Your answer was?
Yes.
and the answer was found to be non-deceptive. Jack, was this a close call?
No, Dr. Phil, was not. She had a +8 in this particular format scoring system. She would have needed a +2 or above. So it was significant.
What's your thinking?
I don't know a lot about lie detectors. No, I honestly don't.
I
believe that she believes what she was saying. Yes, I do.
And how about you two?
I'm confused about the whole thing.
I'm sorry?
I'm confused about the whole thing. I don't really know what to think. Like you said before, she doesn't want a relationship. That's what she said. She said that she doesn't want a relationship, and she said that we've cut her off. I've tried to talk to her. I've tried. Because I love my sister, and I love my niece. And I've tried my hardest to reconnect with her and do everything that I can. She won't. Because I need validation. I need you guys to believe me and know that you're behind me.
Yeah, but I can't leave my dad behind.
He did this to me. He did this to me for so long.
I watched my life fall apart for the past year.
I watched mine fall apart for 15. Honey, I know. And I'm so sorry that you have to grow up without him there. I am sorry that I had to take that away from you. But honey, I need to protect anybody else.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. Did you know that more than 16 million kids in the U.S. are at risk of hunger each day? That's more than 1 in 5 children. Now, these are our neighbors, our kids that play in the neighborhood, co-workers, friends' children. The problem is closer than you would think, but so is the solution. Join me and visit feedingamerica.org/hunger to find your local food bank to help. I'm Dr. Phil, and together, we are Feeding America. Ready to get real? Go to drphil.com for advice on relationships, parenting, finances, and more. Plus, weigh in on your favorite episode, share your stories, and find support in the Dr. Phil community. When you sign up for the community, you will automatically be subscribed to the Dr. Phil Show newsletter. Log on to drphil.com today. This may be something that, for now, you just have to agree to disagree. And you know, one of the things that I've had to learn across time is that you don't have to love everything someone does to love that person. If right now they feel a loyalty to their dad in some respects, if that's where they are right now, then you've got to love them through that. And you've got to understand that, you know, getting by in life is sometimes about meeting people where they are when they're there. You went a long time without saying anything about this, and then you decided to say something about it. And I understand the power and control that a molester can have over a victim, so I totally get that. But I've spent my whole life in this field. They haven't. All they know is one day the phone rang, and their father was ripped from the home. I mean, you've got to give them time to process this and to grieve that process. And extended family is very important for a child. He has not done anything wrong. She's not done anything.
I don't blame them.
You want your daughter to know your family.
You want a relationship with me, yeah? You want a relationship with our family. You want us to forgive you for this.
Forgive me.
I didn't mean to use that word. I apologize.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. I know what you mean. Being the change agent.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
Well, here.
No, I want to know how someone can go through
this. Just listen.
Tell me what you're going to say.
I want to know how someone can go through this.
and their family can turn their back on them. Because that's what I feel has happened.
The only reason that I want to talk to you again is to see your daughter, to see my niece, to have her run to her Uncle Joe and give me a hug.
At some point, you got to hit the reset button and say, you know what? We're going to start from here one day at a time. And if you choose not to forgive her for things in your earlier life,
there was.
Then that's your choice and that's your burden to carry. Because that's, you know, having anger and hatred and bitterness, that's something that if you choose to carry that, that's your choice and you'll make it.
I don't choose to hate. I don't hate her. I'm washing my hands of her for my life.
Then I think that's a really, really bad decision. But if it's yours to make and yours to live with when you make it.
That's fine.
You have to know that you have told the truth. You've had the courage to do it. And I will guarantee you there are victims around this globe right now that will be inspired to escape their situation and suffering because of the courage you've shown in coming. I'm not your family, but I believe you. And I think as this shakes out, they will come to as well. And that doesn't mean that other issues won't need to be resolved. You need very specialized help to heal these wounds and get yourself back to where you need to be. And I am more than happy to make those arrangements for you and get you that specialized help that you need until you're where you need to be. And if and when this family gets to a point that they're ready to come back together, if and when that happens, I am more than happy to provide professional help and counsel on how to do that without hurting each other's feelings. If there's a way to do that, I will provide the family counseling to help that. Everybody here is doing the best they can with what they have. And when you know better, you do better. And give this time to mature and heal and come through, and I'm ready to help you get stronger in where you are. And I'd like to start that right away. Okay? All right. Thanks. I'll talk to you later. There you go, guys.